Well, I apologize for adding just one more announcement, and that's just to kind of make you clear on, if you want to go up to Wilson's graveside, it's at the Veterans Memorial Cemetery in Killeen, and you have to be there before 12:30, and they'll have a place where people can park their cars in line, and at precisely 12:30, they'll escort you to the pavilion where the service will be conducted, and it will be an exact 30 minutes that they will allow us to be there. And so it's very, again, as said, very regimented. And so if you're going to be there, be there before 12:30 and in place parking, and then you'll follow them into the cemetery. But having done that before, I'm experienced with that, and I realize you can't show up late because they won't let you through after that. Why are the military so strict? They just are, aren't they? But that's a good thing, though. But Brother Wilson was so special, and if you're not able to go to his graveside, then it, of course, understandable. But we know you love him anyway. What a wonderful person he was, and I loved working with him. I'm telling you, I just loved being around him. And he was a great elder in this church and a good treasurer. If you would please turn to the Bible to Galatians chapter 3. We want to spend just a little bit of time. Following God is what it's all about. And no matter what else you do in life, following God is what it's all about. And so your number one effort, your number one focus, your number one goal in life should be to follow God. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Now, make that your heart's desire all of your life, that you're going to follow God. And even if sometimes he leads you down paths that are a little difficult, and speaking from some experience on that one, and so maybe you are as well. But following God is what it's all about. And we have in the Bible some things that teach us that. And we're going to talk a little bit this morning about baptism, and we've promised to make this fairly brief. When we do, we won't be able to cover everything. Spend a little time looking up baptism in your Bible, and you'll realize you're going to be there for a while as you look at different scriptures. Almost every New Testament book, not every, but almost every New Testament book mentions baptism. And so you can learn a whole lot just by going through those particular books of the Bible, the Gospels, of course, all of them, Book of Acts for sure, and many of the writings of Peter, Paul, and John, and Jude, and James, and those will include, to some extent, some of them will, others won't, but most will. So we're talking about that particular topic. I want to talk really, though, about, to kind of back off, and just talk about it from a history standpoint. And I got three main thoughts, actually a fourth one that we'll throw in at the end. But the first one has to do with going back all the way to the ancient times, all the way back to the creation of the world. The entire Old Testament deals with, from the very creation and Adam and Eve in the garden and the first sin and therefore the fall of man. And throughout the history of the Old Testament would be God then giving the people laws to live by that were wonderful, wonderful laws. Paul will tell us that in the book of Romans. There was nothing wrong with the law. Something wrong with us. But in the Old Testament, we have in those what we would call, if you were a kid, you might call them in the olden days, the time before Christ. That's what the Old Testament is. And it, of course, was the law of Moses and those kinds of things. And Galatians 3:23 actually tells us about that period of time. He says, before the coming of faith, which is the gospel, we were held in custody under the law. We were locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. And so the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. And now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. But what I want you to catch this, the idea is the Old Testament, we were as a people, as God's creation and the people created in his image, all of us, of course, our ancient ancestors were in custody under the law. But the law acted as a guardian to guide us along, as the Bible is teaching us here. But he says after that, we're no longer under faith. So we have stories of Adam and Eve and Moses and David and on and on, Goliath and all the stories you remember from the Old Testament, all the prophets that we read about and read about as we study the Old Testament scriptures. They don't just have to do with that time. They were looking forward and predicting the coming of Jesus Christ and salvation through faith in Jesus Christ and, of course, our obedience to the faith in baptism. And baptism will be involved. But then we move to the second, which is the gospel times. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John would be that particular period. And it covers about really, even though it begins with the birth of Christ and ends with the death of Christ, which would be about 33 some odd years right in there, it predominantly covers about 3.5 years of Jesus' life, would be his last 3.5 years. And it would be the ministry of Jesus as he went out and taught people about the coming of the kingdom of God through the Messiah, which he was, and the idea of faith and belief in God. And Jesus did a lot of teaching. We're familiar with the Sermon on the Mount and all of those things that we read in the gospel accounts. But it also tells us about the birth of Jesus Christ by the Virgin Mary, which we celebrate every Christmas. We think about the birth of Jesus and the coming of God into this earth. And as was said so well earlier, that Jesus came to die for us. And I loved your illustration of being before the Lord in judgment as God listed all of each one of ours many sins. And then at the very end, before actually pronouncing judgment, telling us, oh, someone else has actually paid for your penalty, and so you're free to go. And that's through Jesus Christ, the birth of Jesus Christ, coming into the world so that he might die for us and be our Savior. As the scripture says, God so loved the world that he sent his Son so that we put our faith in him might have eternal life. And that was God's plan all along. So the birth of Jesus, and then, of course, his death on the cross, where Jesus shed his blood. And it's the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away all of our sins. I love the song, he paid a debt he did not owe, and we owed a debt we could not pay. And that's all what it's all about. The death of Jesus Christ was Jesus paying the debt that he didn't owe. He lived a perfectly sinless life and became our sacrifice for our own sins. And, of course, we couldn't pay for that ourselves. And so God wiped away all of our sins through Jesus Christ. So he says in verse 26 of Galatians, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. And for you were all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. I've always loved that passage, because I imagine Christ like a wonderful garment, and when you become baptized, it's like you put Jesus on. And so when God sees you, guess who he sees first? He sees Jesus, because you're wearing Jesus. And so that's the scripture here. It's through faith, and that through your faith, you're obedient to the good news of Jesus Christ. You're baptized into Christ. That's what takes place. Baptism isn't just some ceremony. Something significant takes place. You are baptized into Christ, and you've clothed yourselves with Christ. We get over into church history after, of course, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which, as we've said multiple times, that has to do with our death. Not only do we have a sin problem, but we have a death problem, and the death problem was caused by Adam and Eve. They brought death into the world, sin first, and then through sin, death, as Paul says in the book of Romans. But from that, we all die, and we're just going to die. But because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he defeated death as well. He got rid of sin for us but through that also he defeated death so that we might live eternally with God. And so in baptism, interestingly, and of course biblically, we actually go through the death and the burial and the resurrection, just like Jesus Christ did. Romans 6 teaches us that we die to ourselves and we're buried beneath the waves of the water of baptism, and we're raised to walk in new life. And so that's what baptism is. And that's why we immerse, we put people under. It's like a burial in Jesus Christ. And of course, then it's like the resurrection of Jesus Christ as well. So we're taught about faith and faith coming. That's what he says, until the faith that was to come into the world be revealed. And so once faith has come, the law has passed away, and our salvation is through Jesus Christ and our faith in Jesus Christ. It's not something, of course, we talked in Bible class today, that we earn. It's not a matter of merit or performance. Now, God says, I want you to live a godly life. And so don't get me wrong. God wants us to live a godly life. But it's not through that we earn our salvation. But God gives us our salvation through Jesus Christ. And so then we get into the book of Acts, which is church history, if you will. It's the one book that's the church history book. All the rest of the letters were written, most of them during the time of the book of Acts, but also even a little bit afterwards to the churches at that time. But the book of Acts is after Jesus has ascended to heaven. The disciples were told to go out and preach the gospel to the whole world and make disciples of all people, and teaching them and baptizing them and making them disciples. And so in the book of Acts, there are so many stories. If you have some time this week, read the book of Acts. It's not that long. It's only 28 chapters. Am I right about that? 28 chapters, some odd. Yeah. Probably only takes you maybe 45 minutes, maybe an hour. And you know, read the book of Acts. And notice how many times the gospel is preached and people respond. And they respond in different ways, but if you put them all together, they put their faith in Jesus Christ. They confess him. Surely they're changing their hearts and wanting to follow God. And they're being baptized. So many places. I'll just give you three examples in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching about Jesus, and the people are convicted. They want to know what to do, and Peter tells them they need to repent, which just really means change your heart, change your mind, and through that eventually your life will be changed. But through that also he says to repent, but also then be baptized. And so the people, I think it was 3,000 people at that time, were added to the faith in their obedience to what Peter preached. And so there's baptism right at the very beginning of the book of Acts and the preaching of the gospel for the first time. The gospel was preached on the day of Pentecost. And in Acts chapter 8, we have another example where Philip is teaching a guy who's coming home from Jerusalem on the way to Ethiopia. He's got his Bible open, and it just so happens it's open to Isaiah 53, and he's reading, and it's really confusing. He wants to know, looking at these Old Testament scriptures, because Philip asks him, can I help you? Do you have any questions? And he says, yeah, who's he talking about in Isaiah 53? And we're told in Acts chapter 16 that he was reading from Isaiah 53, having to do with Jesus Christ. He wants to know, again, who is he talking about? And we're told that Philip, began at that very same scripture, preached Jesus. And so Isaiah 53 speaks to us about Jesus Christ. Excuse me, I'm trying to turn to the page and find that particular text, but I'm sorry, it's not in Acts 16, it's 8. The eunuch, the scripture he read was, he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, and so he did not open his mouth. Talking about Jesus, this is Isaiah. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? And so the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who's the prophet talking about? And is he talking about himself or someone else? And then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And so after then he preached his little sermon, Philip did, to the eunuch. The eunuch said, as they traveled along in the chariot, well, here's some water. What stops me from being baptized? And they stopped, and he was baptized. And so there's baptism. It's so much in the Bible. It's so much a part of it. Acts chapter 18 and verse 8 is another good scripture where Corinthians were listening to the Apostle Paul, and the scripture said many of the Corinthians who heard Paul as he was preaching the gospel about Jesus Christ believed, and they were baptized. And so baptism is such a part of the gospel and our obedience to the gospel. And so when we are witnessing someone being baptized, we're seeing, even in our own time. So we have the ancient times of the Old Testament. We have the gospel times of Jesus living it out and being our Savior. We have church history, that one book, which tells us of how the people were preached the gospel and they responded to it. But you know, nothing's changed in our time. It's still the same way. It's still true that faith matters, that following God is what it's all about. And we follow God through putting our faith in Jesus Christ, and we follow him then also through our baptism. It still matters. And so, thank God that that churches are still preaching the gospel and inviting people to follow. It still matters. And it matters when we witness someone being born again. Every time we do, we ought to be so thankful, and we ought to really praise God for making that possible. The Lord still calls everyone to follow him today. And so if you're in our worship today and you have not put your faith in Jesus Christ and been baptized, what an opportunity it is for you to do that even today as we have a baptism. If you're thinking about being baptized and you want to confess Jesus Christ, then we invite you to come. We're going to sing an invitation song. If you have a need, if you've thought about being baptized and you want to be baptized, then come forward during this singing, and we'll make that possible for you.